In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Hello, Joel. Ask Jesus, what is the greatest of all the commandments? And Jesus replies by describing for him the human being's vocation, the single most important thing we need to do in life. If we do everything else but don't do this, we will not have lived life well. We have heard Jesus respond so many times that we can think that it was a soft question, but not at all. There were 613 precepts, commands, in the Old Testament. So to choose which of them was the greatest was something that the scholars of the law had found difficult for centuries. Jesus' answer came from what God had inspired Moses to teach the Jewish people after God had rescued them from Egypt. From that point forward, faithful Jews have recited it every day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our Lord, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart and with your whole soul and with all your mind. Even though Jesus' contemporaries recited this when they awoke and went to bed, Jesus' Jewish interrogators still had not realized its supremacy. In other words, why God had them do all of these things. It was precisely because loving God with all we are and have is not just the most crucial thing we need to do in life, but the way by which we must grow in His image by opening ourselves up to His love. The command makes clear that it's not enough to love God only with some, half, most of, or even almost all of our mind, heart, soul, and strength. God gives us Himself. He gives us His grace precisely so that we can love Him with as close as possible to 100% of all we are and have. He gives us His own love to make it possible for us to love like Him. To sacrifice for God, for others, with love, like He sacrificed for us. But then Jesus added something else, unsolicited. He knew that if He stopped merely with the love of God, many people would think that they were doing just fine. Because so many of us think we love God by the simple fact that we acknowledge Him, revere Him, and have feelings of affections and gratitude toward Him. Jesus wanted to give a clear means by which we could evaluate whether we are truly loving God. Because to love Him means to love what and whom He loves. So Jesus said that there is a second commandment taken from the book of Leviticus that is similar to the greatest. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The clear index of how we love God is how we love our neighbor, loved by God and made in His image. Jesus, during the Last Supper, would set His love up as a model for our love. No longer would our love for ourselves be the standard for the love of our neighbor, but His love for us would be the standard. Love one another as I have loved you.
The thing many miss about Jesus' response to the lawyer's question today is what Jesus says after giving us this twofold directive of love. By it, he makes love for God and for others very practical and gives us the way by which to understand not only everything he reveals to us, but also how he calls us in practice to love in a manner worthy of the calling we have received. On these two commandments, Jesus says, hung all the law and the prophets. In other words, all 613 commands that God revealed in the Old Testament can be summed up in the love of God and love of neighbor. This is so different from the way many often look at the commandments. We can view the commandments of God as restrictive and stifling rather than liberating. Nowadays, some can claim, especially with regard to the sixth and ninth commandments concerning human sexuality, and the fifth commandment on abortion, that they violate them precisely out of love. But we need to ask ourselves, how can we ever claim to love God if we are worshipping idols or misusing his name? How we can claim to love him if we don't come to worship him on the day he calls his own? How can we love our parents if we dishonor them? How can we love others if we hate or kill them? How could we love our spouse if we are not respectful, if we are unfaithful? How can we love someone if we are stealing from them or lying to or about them? How can we really love someone if we are envious rather than happy about the good things and relationships they have in their lives? Dear faithful, the law of God is a law that trains us how to love. So every violation of his commandments is a violation of love of God or love of neighbor. Therefore, whenever God tells us, you shall not do something, the prohibition is to help us to preserve love. It's like a signpost keeping us on the pathway of true love. God, out of love for us, gave us each commandment. That's why Jesus, during the Last Supper, could tell us, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And later, I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. These teachings on love of God expressed through love of neighbor are always timely. But it's very important for us to focus on them at this time. One of the practical applications is to church unity. Today in the first reading, St. Paul exhorts us, as he urged the first Christians in Ephesus, live in a manner worthy of the call. And that call is to love God and others like Jesus. Love is unitive. It brings people together. That's why he tells us to strive to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One body and one Spirit,
as you were also called to the one hope of your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. Our unity, as Jesus prayed during the Last Supper, is meant to resemble the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and is supposed to help convince the world that God the Father sends the Son, and that He loves us much, just as much as He loved the Son. Therefore, when we don't love each other, when we don't have the unity that comes from love, even in the midst of occasional serious disagreements, we scandalize rather than help Jesus save others. There is so much division in the church today, in which, rather than truly loving each other, we judge each other, badmouth each other, and sometimes even hate each other. To love our neighbor doesn't begin by loving those in faraway lands whom we may never meet, but by loving those closest to us, those in our own home, those in the family of faith. Jesus' words today remind us of our call to love, to have invincible benevolence and mercy toward each other. And He's prepared to give us, together with His body and blood, all the help He knows we need to live in a manner worthy of this calling, and make us, in His sacrificial, merciful love, one body, one spirit in Christ. Another application is to the somber presence of evil in the world. We are called, as St. Paul told the Romans, not to be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And we also see that when Jesus calls us to love our neighbor, the truth is that sometimes our neighbor makes himself our enemy. Just like Judas and so many who called for Jesus' crucifixion meant themselves the enemies of Jesus. Jesus, however, didn't stop loving them. He prayed for them as He was dying. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Dear faithful, likewise, our love, our unconquerable goodwill is meant to extend even toward those who hate us. This doesn't mean that we befriend such people, or trust them, or act as bad shepherds, allowing such wolves to kill those God has given us to protect. It does mean that, like Jesus, we pray for their total conversion and don't let their hatred become our way of life. Rather, we overcome evil with good, with love, and with God. So there is no greater way to pray than what we are doing now. Loving God in the Mass, so that He may help us love others. As we ascend the altar of God, let us ask Jesus to help us to adore and love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and so to transform and to so transform us by this Mass and through Holy Communion that has this mystical body, we may live in a manner worthy of our calling and bring His healing and saving love to a world and to so many desperate for it. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.